My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the big fight here in Washington this week, which turned out to be not much of a fight because overwhelmingly the House and Senate both approved the two-week continuing resolution. So our government is funded, I believe, through now March 18th. But obviously, now the sleeves get rolled up, hopefully in an effort to get a continuing resolution through the end of the fiscal year, the end of September. At this point, it doesn't look like there's a ton of common ground. The Democrats say the continuing resolution passed a couple of weeks ago to fund the government through the end of September is a non-starter. Republicans say that we need to see major spending cuts between now and then. So which side has momentum as a result of what we saw this week?
I would have to say that if we are playing by Marquis of Queensbury rules, the two pugilists from both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue have rolled up their respective sleeves, as you said, put their fists in the palm of their other hand, bowed to one another, and the fight has yet to begin. This is just a preliminary battle, so to speak, walking around the ring and sizing one another up. That's about where it ends. On March 18th, the next big battle will begin, where they will discuss seriously, are the cuts going to go beyond the $61 billion recommended in the House resolution? What will the president do? And we'll be back to where we were arguing about a shutdown of government. I'd say one thing from the Republican members I've talked to. There's a lot more free talk and expectation of a government shutdown, of workers being classified as essential and non-essential. In a sense, one can see where the country has changed in 17 years. The American people seem to be saying through their representatives they're willing to undergo a shutdown if that's what it takes to force the necessary cuts on lawmakers of both parties.
John, some folks have said that the Republicans are doing about all they can on the House side to trim the spending here in Washington. Others say they're far too timid. Which side's right?
The former, because remember something, and I've been around in town for more than 30 years as a reporter. In 1980, Republicans in the House, in coalition with conservative Democrats, would not make the cuts that Ronald Reagan and his budget director wanted in their original budget. And that would have really had an impact at a time when domestic discretionary spending accounted for more than 50% of the budget. The Gingrich Congress, elected in 1994, had such promise, and yet when they were eyeball to eyeball to Bill Clinton during a brief government shutdown, they blinked, and they never really showed the vigor that they seem to have on the campaign trail after that. And now you have members who are being very bold, actually shutting down a defense project that would have created 1,000 new jobs in the home state of, you guessed it, John Boehner, Republican Speaker of the House, or eliminating the government funding for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and then taking the budget knife to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is miles and miles beyond anything even attempted in the last 30 years. And if nothing else, the Republican lawmakers are showing they mean some business.
John, you mentioned the Gingrich-controlled Congress. Newt Gingrich expected to be the first Republican to declare his intent to run for president. He's forming a presidential exploratory committee. Some say there's way too much baggage for him to be an effective nominee. Others say, well, he's one of the best idea men the party's seen in years. Both may be right, but does this guy have what it takes to be the nominee or even a president?
Well, remember something. Newt Gingrich is 69 years old and actually looks more preserved than Ronald Reagan did at the same age he was elected. And remember, he was someone considered by the media to have been a figure out of the past, and yet, while he was the oldest candidate, as Congressman Jack Kemp said, he had the youngest and most vigorous of ideas. One could say the same about Newt Gingrich now. Then again, there's other problems. Newt Gingrich has been married and divorced twice. His wife, Calista, who's a close political advisor, is his third wife. He converted to Catholicism, which could cut both ways, depending on how it's interpreted. And he had had the reputation, when he was Speaker of the House and in other capacities, of being a great theorist, a great visionary, but not the most organized person in the world. It's great to have good ideas, but actually executing them takes another kind of skill. Whether Newt Gingrich has that or not remains to be seen. I would say on a personal angle that having watched the Speaker of the House for decades, going back to when he was a freshman congressman, he can ignite a crowd like very few can. He can motivate people to do things. And I would say, if nothing else, seeing him on the campaign trail is a sight worth watching.
John, Republicans, of course, want to win back the White House next year. They also want to once again reclaim majority of the Senate. And they got a little bit more of good news, at least a bit of it, this week when we learned that Democratic incumbent Senator Daniel Akaka from Hawaii will not run for another term. He's 86 years old, so not going after another six-year term is not a huge surprise. Hawaii, a very blue state. No state had a larger majority for Obama in 2008 than Hawaii. But now former Governor Linda Lingle, a Republican, still pretty popular in the state. How do you handicap that race?
Oh, I would say Republicans have a better than even chance, if for no other reason than six ambitious Democrats so far have thrown out hints that they want to run to succeed Akaka. That's known in politics as a bloodbath of a primary. Republicans, whatever their differences with the truly centrist, socially liberal Lingle, seem to be uniting behind her. To use a phrase that Haley Barbour used to use, she's the only game in town. And as you say, she ended on a high note when she left the state house in Honolulu. My guess is she is probably the very best Republican candidate, and the Democrat will emerge a little wounded, a little bloodied. She'll be coming on strong.
John, we'll be watching. A lot of decisions still to be made on the presidential front, and I have a hunch a few more Senate retirements are coming down the pike before we're done here in the next few months as well. So thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
As I come to you only a few hours after shaking hands with my sixth White House press secretary, thoroughly liking the man for now, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
For now. John Gizzi, political editor of Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus.